Today's shiur is a Masechet Bava Kama on Daf Nun Ches. We will begin on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. 9 lines from the bottom of the Yomid at the 2 dots with the words Nafla Lagina. The Gemara is going back to explain what we said in our Mishnah. Nafla Lagina, if the sheep fell down into the garden, and Rashi on Daf Nun He Amud Beis on the Mishnah told us that this happened in one of two ways. Either it fell down from the rooftop of Reuven into the field of Shimon, or the tzon was walking along the Rishus HaRabim, and the Rishus HaRabim was higher than the garden that was adjacent to it. And Boones, the sheep fell into the garden and caused damage. Venenis, it had Hanoah. Mishalemis mashanenis, so she has to pay, referring to the sheep, which of course means the owner of the sheep has to pay, not what the sheep damaged, but what the sheep had hano. And there are two ways, as we're going to see in the Gemara that's coming up, there are two ways that the sheep can have hano. Either it can have hano by eating, or it can have hano that the fruit that it fell on saved it from getting damaged or even dying. It saved it. It served as a cushion, but in the process, the peiros were squashed and they're not able to be eaten anymore. So, in both cases, the owner of the sheep has to pay the hano that he derived from this. So, in the case of the sheep eating when it fell into the garden, the amount that the owner of the sheep has to pay is a cheap food that would sustain his sheep. He saved a breakfast by the sheep eating, and he would have to pay a cheap meal. And the Meiri says that if we're speaking about the hano of falling in and getting saved from damage by being cushioned there, how much the owner would pay in order that his sheep should not get damaged, that's what he would have to pay to the owner of the garden. Begins the Gemara. Amar Rav, said Rav, when does the owner have to pay mashenen? This, what is sheep had anoa? Benechbeta. When it fell in, and it was struck by the peiros, and it was squashed, that's when you have to pay mashenenis. Again, you don't have to pay mashehizik, but mashenenis, the hano that he derived by his animal getting saved from damage, that's what he has to pay to the owner of the garden. So the Gemara questioned this, it would seem, aval ochlo, are you telling me that if the animal fell into the garden and then enjoyed herself, the hano was not being saved from the fall, but rather she ate, are you telling me that in that case, afilamasha nanis and mishalemis, that the owner of the sheep would not even have to pay for the hano? Lema Rav Latame, should we say that the only way to understand that the owner of the sheep would not have to pay for this hano is because Rav is Gozla Shitasoi, the Amar Rav, because Rav said, as Rashi brings down earlier in the Masechta and of Mem Zayin Amud Beis in Perik Shor Shenogach Es Hapara, that the Svora is Hoyolo Shaloi Toichel, that the owner can say, she didn't have to eat. Why did she eat? What is this referring to? So Rashi refreshes our memory. It's speaking about a case where somebody brought his peiros. Let's see the last Rashi on the Amud. Devri Amaschal Lema, says Rashi, Gabi Hichnas Peiros of Lechatzer Chaveri. Somebody brought his peiros into the Chatzer of his friend, Shaloi Brishus, without permission, in Perik Shor Shonag Sapar, Diktani, Husko Bambe Michelle Balabayas, if the animal of the owner of the field got damaged, Chayiv Balaperes. The Balaperes has to pay for the damage to the owner of the shor. V'omer Rav. Rav said, when does the Balaperes have to pay? That's only kishehuchlako bahen, shanu, when the animal slipped on the peiros. Aval ochla, but if the animal gorged itself, it ate vitriza and it got sick from eating so much of the fruit, potter hamachnes, then the person who brought the peiros in without rishus is potter. The havaloshalai toichel, he can say to the owner of the animal, who told her to eat? So it's a ptur, v'hochanami. So the Gemara thought that here also in our case, Amar Bala Behema b'yiridasa anusi, the owner of the animal can say, when she fell into your garden, it was a case of anus. It was by accident. Sharei nafla, ubachilasa hoyalosh loitoichel. This is my animal, but I could say on my animal, just like I could say on your animal, why did she eat? I could say on my animal, who told her to eat? Umani yochalasis. I was in a case of an honest. It was against my will that she was in your garden. Who told her to go to eat? So Memela, this will say that's the svar Rav Lishitasoi, and therefore our Mishnah that says you do have to pay mashananis must be speaking that the sheep fell in and it was spared injury because it squashed the peiris, which served as a cushion. That's when you pay mashananis. But for eating, you would not have to pay mashananis because the owner could say who told her to eat. Says the Gemara, Amer do Hachi HaAmri. I'll tell you, Hachi Hashta. How could you be medama one case to the other? Amer do Amar Rav. When did Rav say this swara of Hayolosh Loi Teichel? That's awesome. That's over there in Perek Shor Shnag Sapora. Hayolosh Loi Teichel Heicha de Iska He, where the animal of the Nizik got damaged. The Matzi Amalei Mori de Peiru. The owner of the Peiru can say to the owner of the animal, loy mishalna, I don't want to pay you. Hoya lo shaloy toichel. Who told your animal to go eat my fruit? But lazuke hi achrini. But to use this same svara as a ptur, when my animal went ahead and ate up your peris, the ptiri lishlumi, that should be a reason that I should be potter to pay you for the damage that my shore did to your peris. Mi omer, where did Rav say it? He was only saying it as a ptur for when your shore ate my peris, but not when my shore ate your Paris there, I talk, have to pay. At least I would have to pay. Masha Nenis. Ella says the Gemara, as we turn to the Afnun Chesom and Aleph, Loi mi boye kamar. That really what Rav was saying was not that in the case of Ochla that you wouldn't have to pay Masha Nenis. In the case of Ochla, of course you have to pay Masha Nenis. It's unnecessary, Loi mi boye, it's unnecessary to say that. What Rav was trying to tell us is a chiddush that even by Nechpata, you have to pay Masha Nenis. Loi mi boye. Of course, there you have to pay mashanes. We don't use the svara of hayolosh loy toichel to potter the owner of the sheep that he, from paying what his sheep had on no. Avol nechbeta, but when it squashed the peiris, when it was hit by the peiris as it fell into the garden, Amo, I would say that maybe there's a svar over there that the owner of the sheep should not have to pay for that hano. Why? Because we have a concept which is found in Shas, which is called mavriyach ari minichse chaveroihu, that when someone sees a lion, he's about to attack the sheep of his friend, and he goes ahead and chases away that lion. So the din is, the owner of the sheep, who his sheep got saved, does not have to pay the person who chased away the lion. He can't come and be Taveya, hey, I did something for you. You would have paid $100 to have somebody do a watch or a shomer do it for you. I did it for you. Pay me? No, I'm potter to pay you. And therefore, I would have said that in our case, this is the case of Mavriyach Ari, Menichse Chaveri. Your sheep is falling into my garden. It's going to get damaged. It might get even killed. And my fruit cushioned the fall. So I'm saving your money. I'm saving your sheep from damage. So, and the halach is when it's Mavriyach Ari, Menichse Chaveri, you don't have to pay me. So I would have thought, Umacha and Nanis, Nami Lemishalim, Kamash Malan. That's what Rav is saying. Of course, if your sheep ate my fruit, avada, you have to pay mashananis. But I would have thought that in the case of nechbetar is a svar, why you shouldn't, because of mavriyach ari, kamash mlon, that even in the case of mavriyach ari, you still have to pay, not mashahizik, because that's an oinus. By the way, of course, if it went in willingly, there you have to pay it shen. That's the case of shen. But we're speaking over here, it fell in, so it was an oinus. So you don't have to pay mashahizik, but you at least have to pay mashananis, and we don't say mavriyach. Ask the Gemara Veim Achanami. Maybe Yutaka should say Mavriyach Ari. Why don't we? And the Gemara gives two terutzim. When I chase away the lion from my friend, I do it with my das. As we'll see in Rashi and the Rashbam in Bava Basra, I want to do a mitzvah. The mitzvah, as the Rashbam tells us in Bava Basra, on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, the Ramas Ramavriach, is Hashavas Aveda. I'm saving your sheep from getting killed by the lion. So when do you say Mavriach Harim and Nechse Chaver? And Rashi here on the fourth line from the top says it also. Mitzvah Hu David. I'm doing a mitzvah. So that's when I say, when I have in my das, I know what I'm doing. I'm saving your sheep from the lion, then it's a case of Mavriach Ari. But hi, in our case, Lav Medatoi, what's the case over here? The sheep by accident fell in and was cushioned by my fruit. I didn't have in mind that my fruit should act as a cushion. There we don't say Mavriach Ari. Inami or a second teretz. Mavriach Ari Menechse Chaveri Lesle Pseida. There's no chesaron by Mavriach Ari. I can't come to you and say, pay me for a shomer. But I didn't have any monetary damage as a result of helping you. So then you say Mavriach Ari. But in our case, it's like Seda. I have a chesaron. Why? Because your sheep squashed my fruit. It's not edible anymore. I suffered a loss. Over there, we don't say Mavriach Ari Minichse Chaveri. Now, if we learn the Gemara Pashut, it would seem that these are two terutzim, and there's a chaluki deis here. For example, the nafke minim would be in a case where I do it midas, and I have hefset. According to the first teretz, the only time you don't say Mavriach Ari is when I did it shaloi midas. But if I did it midas, and I had a hefset, that would still be a case of Mavriach Ari. According to the second teretz, even if I did it midas knowingly, but I had a hefset, you would not say Mavriach Ari. L'chayra. So Tosfos, there's a very long Tosfos that covers almost the entire Amud here. Tosfos gives the parameters of this halacha of Mavriach Ari Menechse Chaveroi, that the person who gained the benefit is potter from paying the person who was Mavriach Ari. We're not going to go through the whole Tosfos, time does not permit, but at least let's do the beginning of Tosfos, let's do it together inside. As Tosfos on the top of the Amud, Vim Taimer, Vare Pareya Chayvoi, the Chashvin Le Mavriach Ari, Beresh Ein Ben Amudr, in Perek Ein Ben Amudr, in the Dorim Daflamid Gimel Amud Aleph. It's a case where somebody knows that his friend owes $5,000. He goes over to the Malva and he pays off. And then he comes to the Loiva and says, pay me back the $5,000, which I paid up for you. So the Gemara says he cannot claim the $5,000 because what he was a Mavriach Ari. So Afal Gav the Islay Pseida. What did our second teretz in the Gemara say? That if there is a pseida, there's no Mavriach Ari, and over there it says Beferish that if there is pseida, we still say it's a case of Mavriach Ari. That's Tosfos Kasha. So Tosfos now learns up our whole sugya differently than we learned it. We learned it, it was two terutzim, and one teretz maybe was mechulik on the other. Tosfos says that both terutzim come to the same maskana, and one is like added on to the other, but they don't have a chaluke deis. Let's see how Tosfos learns up our gemara. V'yesh loimer, d'achi perush. This is the pshat in our gemara. Mavriach Ari Menechse Chaveri. This is the first part of the gemara, which we call the first teretz. But according to Tosfos, it's not the first teretz, it's the first part. The first part of the gemara was concentrating on das or loimi das. So Mavriach Ari Menechse Chaveri, that's medaitoi. V'kivin de medaitoi, afili islay pseida, k'moy pareya chayvoi, chashiv Mavriach Ari. Hai, shaloi medaitoi. The first part of the gemara was saying that the reason over here when the sheep fell in and the fruit cushioned the fall, there's no din of Mavriach Ari because my field did it without das. It wasn't my knowledge. It was an accident when the sheep fell in. But if it's done with my intent, I want to do the mitzvah, then if I want to do the mitzvah, even if there is a hefsed, it will be called mavriach ari. So in the case in the Dorim, where I paid somebody's loan, yes, I had a hefsed of $5,000, but I did it with my intent, that is called mavriach ari. What is now the second part of the Gemara? Inami. It's not a second teretz, according to Tosis. Inami, or there's another difference between mavriach ari and the case here when the sheep falls into the garden. Inami mavriach ari minis chaveri afilu kishena medatoi. I don't have to make the distinction between das or not das. I could give you a different distinction, even if there is no das. Ella chaveri machricho lavriach ari meedre. Let's say my friend forces me to be mavriach ari. So I didn't have das. It wasn't done with my intent to do a mitzvah, but every case of mavriach ari is less leip seidel mavriach. The one who's chasing away didn't have any monetary loss. Hi, but our case over here with the sheep falling on the fruit is leip seidel. There was a pseida. Memeli, you can't say mavriach ari. So now here's where Tosis puts in the main point. The kivan de ikka tarti. Tosis says you have both things. What are the both things? Shaloi midatoi. What's our case here by the sheep? It was done without my intent. The sheep fell in. I didn't have endos to chase away the lion. I didn't have endos here to save the sheep. The sheep saved itself when it fell in on top of my fruit. So it's shaloi midas. The islep said it's also a case where my fruit got squashed. So here I have two items. No das and pseida. That's when loichoshiv mavriach ari. That's the only. So the, according to Tosfos, the two parts of our gemara inami are not two terutzim which have a chaluki deis, but rather it's one part on top of another. The only time you say it's not mavriach ari is if you have both factors, which are that it's without pseida and it's with. Without das, avol midatoi. But if it does have my das to do a mitzvah, afila is like pseida. Even if there is pseida, it's considered mavriach ari. For example, the case where I pay somebody's loan, I have das, even though I have hefset. Oi, or shaloi midas without my intent, but v'les like pseida, I have no pseida. Let's say somebody forces me to save his lion. So I didn't do it with the intent to do a mitzvah. He forced me. On the other hand, I didn't have hefset. Is that called mavriach ari? Can I go and claim you forced me and therefore you owe me what you would pay a shomer to do what I did? The teretz is that's also called mavriach ari. Choshev mavriach ari. Ve'ein noistin le'afil ascharei. He can't even collect the wages of what he did. So it comes out according to Tosfos that our whole sugya are two inyanim which are bonded together. The Gemara is telling us there are two reasons together which make us have a halacha here that there's no din of mavriach ari. One is that there is no das, and number two, there is pseida. But if you don't have both of these factors, it will be a case of mavriach ari. So the shach in our in Choshev Mishpat Simon Kuf Chav Ches Sif Katan Ches says that the concept of mavriach ari is, let's say I had pseida, I'm moichel. I went, like Rashi says, to do a mitzvah. I had chesaron, I had tircha, whatever it was, whatever I lost, I moichel it. Rav Shimon Shkop has a very beautiful pshat here in the Gemara. Rav Shimon Shkop brings the Rashbam. The Rashbam in Bava Basra, Daf Nun Gimel that we quoted before. And the Rashbam seems to be saying the following, that the idea of mavriach ari, the reason I'm potter, and the person who had anor from me cannot claim from the person who had anor from me any money is because I wanted to do a mitzvah. The anor that he benefited was agavurcha. But I didn't have, my mind was not to give him anor. My mind was to do a mitzvah. So I can't come around later and say, hey, you had anor from me, you owe me. No. What was your intent? Your intent was to do a mitzvah. If your intent is to do a mitzvah, then he is potter. He doesn't have to pay me for the anor. So then, if that's so, the first part of the Gemara works out very well. What part is that? And right now we're going to learn, not like Tosfos, we're going to learn that it seems to be two terutzim. So the first teretz of the Gemara works out very well. If it was shaloi midatoi, I didn't want to do a mitzvah, so then you have to pay me because I gave you hanah. So that makes sense. If I did a mitzvah, so I had intent for the mitzvah, I didn't have intent to give you hanah, then you don't owe me anything. But if I didn't do it for a mitzvah, then you owe me for the hanah. But then what we don't understand is the second part of the Gemara. The second part of the Gemara is that it's only if there's no chesaron. But if there's a chesaron, bepashtus, without toisvus, if there's a chesaron, even if I had das to do a mitzvah, it's still not called mavriach ari. Why not? If I had das, who cares if I had a chesaron? I had das to do a mitzvah. If I had das to do a mitzvah, so then then the lecharet halacha should be that it would be a halacha of mavriach ari, even if I had a chesaron, but I wanted to do a mitzvah. I didn't want to give you benefit, so I can't claim it. And yet our Gemara says if I had a chesaron, it's not mavriach ari. So the Rav Shimon says a very beautiful pshat here. Rav Shimon says, Nagei, the Gemara we had earlier in the Masechta Daf Chaf, which is that this whole inyan of Mavriach Ari is based on the concept of Zenen Evezeh Chaser, or Zenen Evezeh Loi Chaser. We know if it's Zenen Evezeh Chaser, I can collect the Hanah from you. But if it's Zenen Evezeh Loi Chaser, then Kaifen Amidus Time, I cannot collect the Hanah from you. So Rav Shimon says that if you get Hanah from me, you have to pay me whether I have intent to give you the Hanah or whether you got an agavurcha because my intention was to do a mitzvah. That's not the point of the Rashbam and Bava Basra to explain Mavriach Ari. The point of the Rashbam and Bava Basra is it a case of Zenen of Zeh Chaser or is it a case of Zenen of Zeh Loi Chaser? So therefore, if I did a mitzvah, and so even though I had tircha, so that's a case of zenene, and that's called zeloi chaser. You know why mavriach ari is potter, why I can't collect from you for the hanor you got from me? Because I had no chesaron. Why? Because my tircha, there was no chesaron. My tircha was for a mitzvah. So it's a case of zenene zeloi chaser. Zenene zeloi chaser is potter. However, if I did it shaloi midas, says Reb Shimon, if I did it shaloi midas, I didn't do it for a mitzvah. If I didn't do it for a mitzvah, so then I had tircha. I was doing something for you, which I didn't have das for a mitzvah. That tircha is a chesaron. Oh, it's zenen of zeh chaser. Zenen of zeh chaser is not a case of mavriach ari. Then you have to pay for it on law. And now, what's the last case? I had pseida. So we're going, bepashtus in the Gemara, that the two truths are mechulik with each other, not like Tysus. So the second teretz is saying, even if I had das, but if I was chaser, that's not a case of mavriach ari. And we ask the question, why not? The answer is, very good. Because since I had chesaron, I had monetary loss, I had to pay a few hundred dollars, my payers got squashed. So memela, you can't call it anymore, even if I did a mitzvah. Zenene v'zeh loy chaser. What do you mean loy chaser? I was chaser hundreds of dollars. So memela, it's not a case of mavriach ari, and memela, I could collect it. The only thing I want to add is that according to Tosis, we said before, both terutzim go together. So according to Tosis, it comes out, the only time you don't say mavriach ari, if you have both factors, which are that I didn't have das, and I had pseida. But Tosfos says clearly, in the case of what? If I pay somebody's loan, what's that a case of? I had das to do a mitzvah, and I had a chesaron, and the Gemara in the dorm calls it mavriach ari. So what's the pshat? Why, in fact, is that mavriach ari? From that Gemara in the Dorm, you see clearly that even if I had a chesaron, but if I have das, it's to do the mitzvah, it's called mavriach ari. I had chesaron. So I was thinking, perhaps, it says in Pirkei Avos, having mechashev hefsed mitzvah keneged schara. If you had das to do a mitzvah, ein echanami, you had monetary chesaron. But if you, on the ledger book, what's the bottom line? The bottom line, you're in the black, not in the red. You lost some money, but you gained a shavas aveda of your friend's money. So that you, in the bottom line, you're in the black. So memela, that's what Taisa Shita is, based on the Gemara and the Dorim, that even if I had a monetary loss, but if I had intent to do a mitzvah, it is called Mavriach Ari. Why? Because that's a case of Zenene, according to Reb Shimon's Pshat, Zenene Vizel Loichosar. I lost money, but the bottom line, I gained a mitzvah, which is greater than the money. So Memela, that's Zenene Vizel Loichosar, Memela, it's Mavriach Ari. If I didn't have kavana for a mitzvah, and I had a chesaron of money, then it's takas zenene, both factors together. That's zenene v'zeh chosar. That's not mavriach ari. Then he has to pay. Continues the Gemara. Hechi nafal. How did the animal fall? Rav Kana, Amar Rav Kana says, Shehuchlika mimei ragleo. The animal urinated, and she slipped on her own urine. That's the oinus that happened here. Rav Amar, Shedachvasa chaverta, that she was walking next to the other sheep, and the sheep gave her a bang, and she pushed her into the field. So the Gemara says, Mandi Amar Shedachvasa, the one who says that one animal pushed the other, Shedachvasa chaverta, kol shkein Shehuchlika mei ragleo. So certainly such an oinus where she tripped on her own urine, that's certainly an oinus. But Umanda Amar Shehuchlika mei ragleo, that she slipped on her own urine, Avol Dachvasa chaverta, Pasha Umishalem is Masha Zika. But if the friend pushed her into the garden, then she doesn't just pay Masha Nanis, the owner. The owner has to pay Masha Zika, the Omalei, because the owner of the garden can say, you were negligent. Why do you let them go two together, and there's a danger? One's going to push the other off the height into your garden. You should have, into the other person's garden, you should have made them go one by one. And since you didn't do that, you were negligent. That's not called an oinus. And if it's not called an oinus, that will be chayiv the hezek, not just ma shenanis. I'm Rav Kana. Says Rav Kana, Loi shanu, when do we say that all you have to pay is masha nenis? We're speaking about now the hano of eating elaboy saruga, in if she was eating in that roll, that bed of fruit. Avu me arugal aruga, mashallah levis, masha zika. But if she went from one roll to the other, then the owner of the sheep has to pay not only what she had on, no, he has to pay for the entire damage. So the parshup shot is because he was negligent. It takes quite a while to go from one road to the other. Where's the owner? Why didn't the owner come down right away, get the sheep out of the field, so that you shouldn't cause more damage? The first row, okay, that's, we blame on the oinus that it fell in. So an animal, when it falls in, its nature is it's going to start eating. So that we can consider still part of the oinus, and you only pay mashanana. But the other rows, where were you? Why didn't you remove her? That's called a pshia, and memela your chai for hezek. Toisus, the bottom Toisus, if you look at the last three words on the right at the bottom of the omen, he says, Have kisoda acher. Toisus has another idea here, that if it's aruga la aruga, then it's not called that the oinus happened in this field. It's as if she went from one field to somebody else's field. Avada der, it's chayiv. So memeo, that's the halachi, or shvi chayiv mashir zika. V'Rab Yochanan Amar, Rab Yochanan disagrees, and he says, Afilami aruga la aruga, even if she went from one bed of fruit to the other, and even if she did this a whole day, she only pays mashananis until she leaves that garden. The tachshul adas, and she'll come back with the knowledge of the owner. She returns to her owner's rishus, and then she leaves her owner's rishus as well. Amar Rapapa said, loy tema. Don't say that the word ladas goes on both teitzei and tachzer, which would be the simple way to understand Rabbi Yochanan. Lo tema cheteitzei ladas v'tachzer ladas, meaning that the owner knew when she left the field, that garden, back to his property, and then when he wasn't careful, Rashi, and this we're going to say to Pshat according to Chazoinish says that tachzer ladas would mean I was so negligent that I knew that she was leaving my field, I didn't watch her at all, as Rashi says, Shaloi no b'fonei karoi, and yet I let her go, so avada am chayiv for what she ate in the other field. Ella kiven she yotze soladas. You don't have to say it's speaking about such a case, such a scenario, and only then he's chayv machahizik. Ella kiven she yotze soladas. Once she came out of the garden back to my rishus, afapi shechazra shalayladas. Even though I did make a shmira. The Rashi says, I made a shmira re'ui psucha. I made a shvacha shmira. It was a shmira, but it wasn't a very good one. So it was shaloi ladas. I would still be chayiv. My taima, the amrlei, the owner of the subsequent when she came back another time to the garden, to the same garden, kiven the yalfa, he could say to the owner of the sheep, once the animal learned that there is food to be gotten here, kol emes dimishtamta lahasam rata. Anytime it's going to escape from you, you know where it's going to go. It's going to go to my garden. Your sheep already found out that this garden is full of fruit. It's a good place for the sheep to eat. So you should have not done according to the way the Chazon Ish learns Rashi, you shouldn't have done a shmira p'chusa, you should have done a shmira ma'ula. And since you didn't do a shmira ma'ula to make sure that your sheep doesn't return to my garden, when the sheep does return, not only you have to pay Masha Nanis, you have to pay Masha Hizika. Then the Mishnah continued, Yorda Kedarka, if the sheep went down its normal way, the Hizika and it did damage, Rishalam is Masha Hizika, she has to pay Masha Hizika. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyahu had the following question. Yorda Kedarka Hizika be Meleida, Ma. What happens if she went down the normal way? So he was a Pesheya, that he didn't guard his sheep from entering into your garden. But how did the damage actually occur? Not through the normal way of shen, of the tsoin, the sheep eating your fruit, but rather it was in the middle of giving birth, and the birth water spilled on the fruit, and no, you can't sell it anymore. It became disgusting. You cannot sell it. Ma, what's the din here? Do I pay Masha Hizika, or I don't pay Masha Hizika? So I'll leave the Mandi Yomer. This is the Gemara we had before in many places in Shas. This is a classical case where the beginning was a pshia because I didn't watch my sheep and she entered not by falling into your garden but by walking into your garden. So that's a pshia. But soifa boinis, because how did she do the actual hezek? Through the meleda. Who's to contemplate that she's doing going to damage through meleda? Ki teboilach alibet a mandi armor tchelasu b'shiva soifa boinis potter. According to the mandi armor, says that in this case you're potter. What's the din here? My me, I'm reading. Do I say kiva tchelasu b'shiva soifa b'nis potter? That since this is a case of tchelasu b'shiva and soifa boinis, then it's potter. Idil, but this is different. Here, even that mandi armor would agree it's chayiv. Why? Hacha kula b'pshiyahu. Here, it's considered that the whole thing is pshiyah. It's not soifa boinis. The kiva the kachaz of the kriva lalamela. He sees that his sheep is already X amount of months pregnant. He knows that any day she's going to give birth. So he boiled a tura. He should have watched his sheep. Ule astemuri. The Rashi says li shamer li zarba. He should have been very careful. Begava with her. And mele. It's not called soifa boinis. It's called soifa bipshi also. And then he would be chayav. The Gemara says on this shaila teiku tishbi yitarch kishri boys that Eliyahu Tishbi will answer this question. It's a suffix. Whether he has to pay or not on the May Hezek. Ketzad Mishalemes Ma Shehezika. Then the Mishnah went on and said, how exactly do you pay when the animal damaged in its regular way? What it damaged? And the Mishnah concluded and said, Shaman Beis Saw Boisa Sada, Kama Hoisa Yafa, Kama Yafa. We estimate how much a Beis Saw is in that field, how much it was worth, and how much it's worth now that the animal ate up and caused this damage. Now, a saw is 6 kabin. There are 30 saw in a kur. We're going to have some of these numbers in the Gemara that follows. Tosfos points out here that the Lashon base saw here is not the normal base saw that we have in Shas, which is 50 amas by 50 amas, where you could seed a saw of zera, but rather it is a narrower area which can harvest a saw of wheat. Now, what's going to come into play in the subsequent Gemara is that we want to make a payment that is, on the one hand, fair to the Nizik, and on the other hand, fair to the Mazik. We don't want the Mazik to have to pay too much, and we don't want the Nizik to suffer too much of a loss. We want to make it fair. The Gemara is going to have a whole question: how do you make this estimation fair, that the Mazik doesn't pay too little, and that the Mazik doesn't pay too much? But meanwhile, the Gemara wants to know, Minohani Mili, from where do I know that this halacha? What is this halacha? Because l'chaira, if I would, let's say the animal ate up 2 bushels of apples. So if we would ask us, what should you pay? We would say, go to the marketplace, find out, go to Hunts Point Market, or go to your regular fruit store in your neighborhood, find out how much 2 bushels of apples they would sell, and that's the hezek that the mazik has to pay. But we don't do that. We do it with a kind of estimation with a beisah. Now, by the way, the animal didn't eat a beisah. So we have to understand the whole calculation here, how exactly it works. But the point is, we see clearly before, we're going to have 3 sheetahs exactly how the calculation works. But whatever the way the calculation works, we see it's not just what he ate to find out this itself, how much it's worth. So, Binani Mili, where do you know that you estimate what he ate based on some kind of calculation that has to do with a much bigger area of the field, which is a base saw? So the Gemara says, we know it from a pasuk. Amar of Masna, Amar Kra, when it says the animal went to another field, ubier b'stei acher, the animal ate in another field. Melamed, sheshamin al gav stei acher, that whatever you ate is estimated based on the value of a greater area of the field in which you ate maybe 1 bed, 1 aruga. And yet we take into calculation how much this aruga is worth in comparison with a much bigger area of a base saw. So the Gemara says, hi, you be your bestay akir. If that's where you're learning it from, we learned before in Daf Yotes Amud Beis the Mishnah that Shen Veregel are Potter Rishus Harabim. How do I know it from Ubir Bestay Akir? Not in Rishus Harabim, it's in somebody else's private field. So how could you use it for this limit? So the more answers, in Kain Lichter Rechamon, if that's the only limit of Rishus Harabim, so it should have said Ubir Bestay Chaveru. Why did it say Bestay Akir? Inami, or it should have said ubier stay acher, my bistay acher. It's telling you sheshamin algav stay acher, that this amount that the sheep ate is estimated and calculated based on a stay acher, how much the damage is to a much larger area than what the animal itself ate. Ask the Gemara, if so, maybe Taka, that's the only thing we learned from Ubir B'stei Acher. Lafuke Rishus Harabim Menol. How do you know that it's Mamai Rishus Harabim? Maybe the only limit is that you estimate this amount based on a larger amount of ground. The Gemara says, no. In Kain Lichtav Rachman Agabi Tashlumen. In other words, the Pasuk has 2 parts. The first part of the Pasuk is the damage that the animal did. The second part of the Pasuk is the payments that you have to pay for the damage. So if the entire lesson of these words, ubir b'stei acher, were in the payment, then it should have said it in that part of the pasuk. It should have said, meitav sadeh umeitav karmishal, he should pay the best of his field or his vineyard, b'stei acher. How do you pay it? By estimating it in relationship to a much larger area. Lamali the kasar rachmana gami ubir. Why did the Torah put the words b'stei acher in the hezek part of the pasuk? Why did it not just put it in the payment part of the pasuk? Shmami not tarti. From the fact that the Torah placed it in the hezek part of the pasuk, so that teaches you another halacha, that it's only if you're mazik and a steyacher and not if you're mazik and a rishus harabim. But since it used the terminology b'steyacher, from that we learn out that you estimate this amount based on its comparison to a much larger amount. And now the Gemara goes into the precise way to calculate this. Heichi shamin, how do you estimate this exactly this amount that he ate based on a larger field? Now the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos here says a very important klal in this whole sugya, and that is that Chazal, Chazal, we see you have to estimate a little amount that he ate compared to a much larger. But how much? Chazal were the ones who figured out Besah, and as we're going to see, it always has to do with a 60th. We're always thinking kashrus in the OU, we're familiar with bitl b'shishim. So there's many halachas in the Torah that have to do with shishim. And that's why our Gemara, even though we're going to have three different ways to calculate, it's all going to be involved in bitl b'shishim. So the first one is, Amar Rav Yisrael Chanina, saw b'shishim sawin. As Rashi explains, we make two calculations. We make how much a base saw is worth one out of 60 of shishim sawin, and then once we have that price, and we'll give an example in a moment, once we have the price of 1/60th of 60 saw, which is one saw, then we say, okay, we know how much this base saw is worth. How much is this base saw worth if it has the aruga, or if it's missing the aruga that the sheep ate? And that's what the mazik has to pay to the nizik. So Rashi explains that if you're going to just calculate, like we said, go to the local fruit store, it's going to be very expensive for the mazik. If, on the other hand, you're going to calculate an aruga compared to a saw, it'll also be too hard on the mazik. Why? Because a saw is a piece of property that an oni is the only one who could buy it. And because he can't afford a large piece of property. He can afford a little area to grow his fruits and vegetables, a base saw, and that's why the people who sell the ground jack up the price, supply and demand. They know 60 saw he's never going to be able to afford to buy. The greater the amount of land, the cheaper it comes out, because there are less buyers. Since there's the army can't afford 60 saw of land, he can only afford one saw. Oh, you can afford one saw. I'll jack up the price. I'll get the most I can get. So that's why an aruga to a saw, we don't do either, because then the mazik will come out paying too much. So what do? We take a 60 saw, which is something that's not so expensive, because not so many people can afford to buy it, so the price gets cheaper. And then, we'll give an example, a saw itself, a base saw, let's say, would be 15 dinrei zov. But 60 saw would sell for 600 dinrei zov. So it would come out 60 saw, one saw of the 60 saw is only 10 dinrei zov. So the mazik has to pay how much a saw. So according to Rashi, there's two calculations. First of all, you have to figure out how much a saw is from 60 saw, which in our example will come out to be 10 dinrei zov. And then once you know that the price is 10 dinrei zov, what's the difference with the aruga if it would be still intact, or now that it's missing, and that's what the mazik has to pay. So that is a fair price. It's not too easy on the mazik, and it's not too hard on the mazik. That's the shear of Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yannai Omar, no. Tarkiv b'shisha tarkavim. There are two tarkavs in one saw. So basically, Rabbi Yannai is saying that he could have said a saw in 30 saw. He puts it one tarkav in 60 tarkavim. Why? Again, this is the Rambam. He wants to stick with that formula of 1 in 60. Because Chazal, when they used a bigger amount of ground to figure this whole thing out, they always stuck to that formula of 1 in 60. That's why he uses tarkav shish tarkavim. But he holds it's not one saw in 60, it's a half saw in 60. It's a tarkav in shishim tarkavim, which would come out to be a saw in 30 saw. What's his svara? His svara is because a saw, if you have one saw out of 60, then this saw, as we explained, is very cheap. And it would come out because a gvir, a tarkav, as we explained, is a chotzi saw, and 60 tarkav is 30 saw, but 60 saw itself, according to the shita, a saw is something that for a gvir is too little for him, but it's too much for an ani, and it has no koinim, and therefore it's very cheap. So Memela, if it's very cheap, who gains from being so cheap? The Mazik gains from it. So this second Shita of Rabbi Yannai felt that if I'm going to use the formula of one saw and 60 saw, it's going to come out that since I'm dealing with, like we said, 10 din resolve, the Mazik's going to get away with murder. He's getting away too cheaply. So I have to make it one Tarkov in 60 Tarkov, which is one saw in 30 saw. So there already, it gets more expensive, the ground. Memela the Mazik has to pay a little more. So then he feels that that's the right amount. Chizki Amar Chizki said, not like the first two shitas, that there's always two calculations. There's a saw in 60 saw, or there's a tarkav in 60 tarkavim. And then you figure out how much the difference is with the aruga or without the aruga. No. Klach, b'shishim klachim. Whatever you ate is estimated with 60 times that, and that's what you have to pay. There's no two calculations. There's only one calculation. The Mishnah said beisaw. So the Mishnah, you have to say, is speaking about a case where the animal ate up a beisaw. So that, according to him, that's how Chizki will have to learn the Mishnah. It's not per se that the measurement is always a beisaw, or it's 30 saw, as we explained before, the 60 takabim. According to him, it's always six. If you ate one stalk, then what is that compared to 60 stock? You ate one saw, that's the case in the Mishnah. What is that compared to 60 saw? That's according to the Shita. Maisri, I'll ask you a question. We don't say that you have to pay what it sells in the marketplace. So you look at it like it's a small aruga, a small bed, and you estimate it. My love, what does this mean? That you don't estimate in the marketplace, but you estimated how much it is in the ground. How much this field is worth with the aruga or without the aruga by itself in the ground. But you're not, there's no shear of shishim. Zakti Gamor, no, loy b'shishim. It's just trying to say you don't do what it's in the marketplace. But ain echanami, it's in the ground b'shishim. What pshat b'shishim? We had three pshatim, each one according to his pshat. Tana Rabban, ain sham kav b'fnei shemash b'choy. You don't estimate by a kav because you're making it better. And we'll soon see what these words mean. The loy base core, and you don't use the calculation of a base core, which would make it worse. And we said before that the shear of a core is 30 saw in a core. My kamar. So the Gemara wants to know what exactly are you saying over here? Amar apap hachi kamar. Ain shaman kav b'shishim kavim. You don't use a kav versus how much it's worth with 60 kavim. Mimneishim as biyich mazik. Because 60 kavim is a lot for an ani, it's a very small amount for a beinoni, certainly it's a very small amount for an usher, and therefore people don't buy it, and it's sold for very cheap. So it'll come out, if you're going to use this formulation, it's going to come out, the mazik is going to pay very little. And Rashi says another svara, a kav among 60 kavim is hardly noticeable. And Mimele, if you use that criterion, the mazik will pay almost next to nothing. And also, we don't do v'loy kur b'shishim kurim, and not one kur and 60 kurim. Why? Because this would serve to the detriment of the mazik. So Rashi again gives both swaras that a 60 kur is what an usher who wants to get a large estate, he's interested in 60 kur. That's a very large amount. We said there's 30 saw in a kur. So imagine how big 60 kur is. So the usher is looking to pay for such a big estate. So therefore, the price goes up. If the price goes up, who's gonna lose out by it? The mazik. It's poigim. It makes it bad for the mazik. And also, one kur among 60 kur is still a very noticeable damage. When one kur, if you have a fire and one kur gets destroyed, even though you're in 60 kur, but it still makes an impression. And Mimele, it would come out that the field would go down a lot in value. And who would suffer? The mazik would suffer. I don't like your pshat. Hi, v'loy base kur. What is? Why does it say base kur? notice, ain shaman kav, you told me it's kav in 60 kavim. But then the Braisa goes ahead and says, base kur, according to you, if it like kur mi boile, it should have been one kur from 60 kur. Why is it base kur? Base kur is an area. Kur is the volume of tvua that you would need a piece of ground to produce. Why do you suddenly switch to the area? El amar afunim barbanach mishreid ravacha breid rav ikha, hachi tari. This is the pshat in the Braisa. Ain shaman kav mimne atzmoi, mimne shmashbiach nizit. And look what he does. Here he turns it around. Before we were learning shemashbiach means mazik. He says no, that's mashbiach the nizik. In other words, if you look at a kav all by itself, then a kav all by itself compared to nothing, it's very expensive. It only becomes less in value when you compare it to what damage it's doing to the rest of the field. That's what we said. We don't want to punish the mazik too severely. So that's why you don't look at a kav by itself. The loy kav beveis kor. And you also don't estimate the kav in the area of a base kur, because a kav in the area of a base kur, no one notices the loss of a kav in the area of a base kur. And mimela the nizik would lose out. Ela b'shishim. What the right measurement is, as we said before, that it's b'shishim. What's pshat b'shishim? We had three pshat in the Gemara before B'shishim. But the main thing is that it's not the way you learned the pshat, but rather the pshat is you have to make it fair for the nizik, you have to make it fair for the mazik. The best formula is the one that Chazal came up with, 1 and 60, each of the three pshatim, l'shitasim. B'siyat Rishmai, and tomorrow Shiru will continue with the next story in the Gemara of Ahu Gavra.